Well, this morning we're talking about being born again. You know, for Christians, that's something that we have probably heard before. Sometimes we hear it so much, it maybe it loses its impact of what it's supposed to mean and what it means to us as Christians. There's actually some people who are kind of offended by the phrase born again, but I suspect that those who are offended by it probably really don't understand what it means to be born again. And so that's what we want to talk about this morning. What does it mean to be born again? And what did Jesus have to say about it? And of course, we find that in the Gospel of John, chapter 3. The story goes, Nicodemus comes to Jesus and has some information that he wants to gather from Jesus because he really does believe that what Jesus is doing, that it's good things, that he must be from God because no one could do what he's doing unless God's blessings were on him. But we want to talk a little bit about who Nicodemus is. Nicodemus is a Pharisee and a member of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling council. The Sanhedrin had 70 members who were responsible for religious decisions and also under the Romans for civil rule. So they would know the laws, the Jewish laws, very well. They would be acquainted with the Roman law also. And this was kind of like the judicial system through the religious side of the day. The Sanhedrin would have listened to the cases of those that were brought before them that may have broke the law, and they would have a ruling on what would be done and choices and decisions and whether or not they had actually broke the law or not. So as you can see, Nicodemus was a very powerful man and an influencer in his community as well. Now, there were two Sanhedrin among them that were also supporters of what Jesus was doing other than Nicodemus. The first one is Joseph of Arimathea. Maybe you've heard that name before. We see this in John 19. He was actually a secret disciple who helped with the burial of Jesus. He didn't want the Sanhedrin to know that he was a follower of Christ. But we see from his actions that he did, kind of behind the Sanhedrin's back, did follow Christ in several different ways. And the second one was Rabbi Gamaliel, who stood for the disciples who were put on trial. And we see that in Acts 5. 34 through 39. He stood up for their rights, speaking up for them. Rabbi Gamaliel was not so much trying to keep it secret, but he did stand up for the disciples. And later on, when I say later on, later from the story that we're talking about today, Nicodemus would rebuke the Pharisees for condemning Jesus without hearing what he had to say. And we see that in John 7. And then he also helped Joseph of Arimathea with the burial of Jesus. So Nicodemus was there even when Jesus died on the cross and brought him to that place of burial. So you see, Nicodemus was one who was a believer in Jesus Christ. He had a lot of questions, but he was still a believer in Christ. And this is what Jesus said to Nicodemus when he came to him. He said, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Now, that was a very strange kind of phrase to share with Nicodemus when here was this high official among the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin coming to find out more information. And out of the blue, he says, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. When Nicodemus approached Jesus, he came to him at night, which meant that all of his responsibilities as a Pharisee were completed for the day. And he had full attention on Jesus and what Jesus had to say to him. He was trying to find out more information about this man who seemed to be from God. it would have also been a compliment to Jesus for him to come to him at night, because the Pharisees were very well known that at nighttime, that was the time of their reflection. That was the time that they would spend in the presence of God, seeking the will of God. So for him to come to Jesus at night, that meant he was on his own personal time, seeking wisdom from God. And so that's exactly what Nicodemus was trying to do. But what Jesus said to him was nothing like what he expected. It was nothing like what he expected. He said, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Now, what does it mean to be born again? And why is it necessary in order to see the kingdom of God? Those are the questions that we want to ask of Jesus. This is what Nicodemus wants to know as well. And this is how Nicodemus responded to what Jesus had to say. He says, how can someone be born when they are old? Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb and be born. Now, Nicodemus misunderstood what Jesus was trying to share with them. To be born again can also mean to be born from above. Not just born again, but born from above. Nicodemus had confused the spiritual with the physical. Jesus wanted to help Nicodemus understand something deeper than what he had already come to know through the physical things that he had learned through the law and through studying the law, knowing what it said. Nicodemus was looking at things from a physical standpoint when Jesus wanted him to see things from above, a spiritual standpoint. Jesus then answered, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and spirit. First, Jesus says no one can see the kingdom of God, and then he says no one can enter the kingdom of God. These are two important things that Nicodemus would want to know about. He would want to see the kingdom of God. He would want to know how to enter the kingdom of God. And here's the key. You must be born again. Or in other words, you must be born from above. And as Jesus put it, born of water and spirit. Now, what does it mean to be born of water and spirit? Even the theologians and the scholars kind of debate over what Jesus may be talking about when he's referring to the water. But this is probably a good idea of what he's talking about. You remember John the Baptist was going around preaching a message of repentance. And as he asked people to repent, he also asked them to be baptized, to be washed, to be cleansed in the water. It was a symbolic act that did cleanse them so that they would be prepared to walk in new life in the presence of God. So we see this image of being born in water. It's a willful decision and choice to say, yes, I'm repenting of my sins and I'm willfully being washed in the water, symbolically to be cleansed. There's also the idea of being born of the flesh, the water that is present at birth. Some people believe that Jesus is talking about we must physically be born or we cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. But whatever the choice may be there, it was a choice that was made by human ability. It was the choice of the people to say, yes, I will repent of my sins. Yes, I will be washed in the water of baptism. And Jesus wanted us to know that there's more to coming to him than just the baptism that John was talking about. There's also the Spirit, to be born from above by the power and authority of God. It is a second birth that requires change and a new way of living. So not only do we walk the aisle, so to speak, and willfully get baptized by choice, but we must also understand that there's a part that God does through the power of His Spirit that as we invite His presence into our lives, He changes us, He transforms us, He makes us into who we cannot be on our own. And that was what Jesus wanted to help Nicodemus understand. That if you really want to see the kingdom of God and you want to enter the kingdom of God, you must not only be born of what you know about in the law and how to carry it out, but you must also be born in the Spirit and allow God's presence to transform you into His likeness. When Nicodemus first came to Jesus, this is what he said. He said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God." We know. He didn't come just on his own authority. There were others who also believed that he was come from God. "For no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." This is what Nicodemus said when Jesus said, "Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." That's the response that Jesus gave to him coming with these words. Nicodemus needed to see things from a different perspective, didn't he? And Jesus knew that. Jesus knew that he was a wise man. He was a sage, per se. He knew the law. He knew how to carry out the law. He knew how to help others understand the law and how people needed to be prosecuted if they broke the law. He knew many things, but he needed a different perspective. How often do well-meaning people need a new perspective? Nicodemus was a pretty well-meaning man, wasn't he? How often do people say they are Christians and yet with their actions show something else? I mean, I see that so often as a pastor, where people say they're Christians and yet with their lives they show something that is completely different. They need a new perspective, a new way of looking at things, a new understanding of what it means to be born again as a Christian. Can we be satisfied with a business as usual mentality when God wants us to be made new? I'm sure Nicodemus had a routine. He got up every morning. He probably ate his breakfast a certain way. He went into the temple courts. He did things a certain way. He knew the law. He knew how to carry it out. But he needed something new in his life because there was more to life than just the law and carrying it out. In Joel 2:32, it says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Now, a lot of people look at that verse and they say, well, all we have to do is call on the name of the Lord. But within the context, what this is talking about is those who are faithful, those who have committed themselves to the Lord and call upon the Lord. Those are the ones who will be saved. There has to be more than just saying the name of the Lord, right? Because in James it says, "You believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder." What is the difference between the belief in God that the demons have and the belief in God that a born-again Christian has? It's light years away, isn't it? One belief in God can bring salvation, while the other belief in God can only bring condemnation. And for those who claim to be Christians, there is more than just saying that we believe in God. The demons believe that. What is any different about our belief than that of the demons? Are we living our lives selfishly for ourselves while we're claiming the name of God? Or do we claim the name of God and allow His transforming power, the power of His Spirit, to renew us, to make us new, and to cause us to be born again? There must be more to understanding the kingdom of God than simple words, doesn't there? There must be. "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who is from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Nicodemus knew great things about Jesus, but he needed to know how to enter the kingdom. It's not enough to know that Jesus is from God. And it is not enough to know that the laws and how to properly execute them. But Jesus said, if you want to see the kingdom of God, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born again. There must be a life-changing experience and an acceptance of the power of God within your life that changes you and transforms you and keeps you from living the way of this world. Remember last week we talked about this verse in Revelation where Jesus says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." Remember we talked about it wasn't enough to hear the knock. It wasn't enough to stand at the door while Jesus is knocking on the other side. We must respond to him. We must open the door. We must let him in. Galatians 4:9 says, "But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable forces? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again?" The Scripture teaches us that once we are known by God and we've come to understand who He is, we can't go back to that old selfish way of living anymore. Because if we do, we will just be enslaved by those ways. Now we've been given the right and the privilege of becoming the righteousness of God through the power of His Holy Spirit, being born again. Are we allowing the new birth of His Spirit to change our lives while we leave those miserable and weak forces behind us as we seek to do His will? We cannot be satisfied living like the world when God has called us to be born again. Amen? We can't be satisfied. And we cannot be content with where we are when God has called us to be so much more. Now, we can feel good about our decision to follow Christ, feel good about the things that we're doing to grow and develop in Him, but we cannot be content staying where we are. Remember, if we're stagnant, being stagnant is not a good place to be. We must constantly be growing, constantly seeking His will and His way. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. How many times are people in the dark when it comes to following Christ? And how many times do people need to be born again, just like Nicodemus, in order to understand what it means to see the kingdom of God and to enter the kingdom of God? What is it that makes your life any different from anyone else in the world? Is there any difference from the way that others live in the world? You know, as a Christian, we really should be different. Some kind of significant mark that sets us apart. Do you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Is that evident in your life that you're seeking His kingdom, to see His kingdom, to enter His kingdom, and the righteousness that comes along with that desire? Are you truly born again? If we are, God will help us to grow in that faith. He will help us to stay away from the miserable, dark things that keep us from growing in Him. And we will truly be born again. Let's pray together. God, we thank You for Your Word that teaches us the importance and the necessity of what it means to be born again, be born anew, be born from above, born not only of water and a willful choice, but also to be born of Spirit from above, empowered by Your Holy Spirit. Father, forgive us for the times when we seek our own will and our own way. I mean, that's what the demons do. They believe in You. They know that You are who You say You are, but yet they live their life selfishly for themselves. May we not be guilty of living that way, Father. May we seek first Your kingdom and Your righteousness. May we seek first the things that come from You, so that we may truly be born again. And Father, if there's someone here today who's never received You as their Lord and Savior, we pray that today is the day of their salvation, that they accept You and invite You to come in through the power of Your Holy Spirit. We ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.